Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply. Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
This show is for college recruiting fans.
What a run! He's got a lane! Wow! Touchdown! What an athlete!
College recruiting, high school prospects, and more. This is Recruiting with Oregon Live's Andrew Nemec. Brought to you by Power Rents, your local family-owned independent equipment rental company in Portland, Salem, and Vancouver. Online at powerrents.com.
Hoo-wee.
Recruiting with Andrew Nemec on 1080 The Fan, Odyssey app, and 1080thefan.com.
Football is back. And in a very big way, because the Tampa Bay Buccaneers and Dallas Cowboys are in an absolute shootout. 21-16, Tampa Bay leads the Cowboys before the half. But we have stuff to discuss. Because yet again, we're finding out hashtag recruiting matters. And it drives me bonkers. Yes, I said bonkers. It drives me absolutely insane that there are still fan bases who say recruiting doesn't matter because insert 1-2-star guy that ended up being very good. Therefore, they can come from anywhere. Through week one of the college football season in Power 5 versus Power 5 matchups. So, you know, the big school playing the big school. Only one
Not
name.
Not Washington, Montana?
No, that one doesn't count. Only in one game, UCLA over LSU, did a school that recruits better consistently lose to a school that recruits worse. One. In other words, about 95% of the time, if you just look at average recruiting ranking of the recruits on your roster compared to the other schools, if you just picked the school that recruited better, you would be right 95% of the time. That stat courtesy of College Football Matrix that a lower rated recruiting school beat a higher rated recruiting school only once across the Power 5. It doesn't happen that often. Recruiting matters. Look at Oregon's football team. Everybody's freaking out. If they're so good, how come they struggled with their first game of the year? What happened? Well, one, it takes a really, really long time for your recruiting, if you're new to elite recruiting, to fully saturate your program. Mario Cristobal's best recruiting class, or his first real recruiting class, those guys are still sophomores. Kayvon Thibodeau was recruited by a class that when Willie Taggart was still the head coach for some of that time. Seven McGee committed to Oregon more than 900 days ago. 900 days ago. So I've been writing about Seven McGee for 2.5 years. You've heard about Seven McGee's potential impact in Eugene for 2.5 years. He's a true freshman. He just got to Eugene about 2 months ago. It takes a really long time, especially if it goes from bad recruiting, step up, new coach, good recruiting. It can take 4 or 5 years because, yes, the recruiting gets better the day he steps on campus, but it takes him a whole year to recruit a recruiting class. And then those kids are true freshmen and some of them redshirt. And then there's another year and then another year and then another year. And if you keep stacking those classes, eventually you have good recruiting classes all the way up from your seniors to your freshmen. From a recruiting standpoint, if you just don't pay attention to storylines, from a pure how long will it take Oregon's recruiting classes to be elite from senior to freshman, Oregon's program is still 2 years away. If you want to say 1 year away because the senior class doesn't matter a ton, I guess, fine, you can. But Oregon is still a year or two away from having the program fully saturated with elite recruiting classes. Okay, you still are like, I'm not really buying that, Nimmick. They still have a ton of stars. They should be great. Let's go over the results from the Oregon game. What were the big plays of the game? Kayvon Thibodeau, huge sack. Forced fumble. Supposed to be the number one pick. Guess what? He was the number one recruit in America. Noah Sewell forced a huge fumble in the game. Five-star recruit. Justin Flo had a monster game. 14 tackles, forced a key fumble. Five-star recruit. Penei Sewell, phenomenal player, just left Oregon, first-round draft pick, was the number two guard in the country, highest-rated offensive lineman in program history when he committed. Oregon's future potential first- or second-round pick, Mikhail Wright, number one corner in the nation, according to ESPN. We keep doing this narrative, and I keep hearing it, that recruiting doesn't matter, or, man, you know, Marcus Mariota was only a three-star, so recruiting doesn't matter. Consistently, across the board, if you have better-rated talent, you beat lower-rated talent. There are outliers. There are always outliers. But consistently, you are better off taking the elite talent than you are getting lower-level talent. Still not buying it. Let's take a look at Oregon State. Oregon State last year finished with the top two tacklers in the Pac-12. You know, they don't recruit real well. Avery Roberts is a transfer. He was an All-American. He was a four-star recruit, All-American. The guy that was number two in tackles, Omar Spates, or number one in tackles, that they were 1-2. Omar Spates was a four-star prospect when he was coming out. They dropped him down to a three-star after he committed to Oregon State, but he was their most heavily offered linebacker in at least 5 years at the program. Chance Nolan comes in to try to save the day. Looks really good. Might be the future at quarterback. He was the number one junior college quarterback in the country. Tyjon Lindsey made plays, might have been the number one receiver, right? I mean, at least, at the very least, we'd argue that he was one of their key cogs in that game. He was a former five-star recruit, dropped down to a four-star recruit, was an All-American. You can do this time and time and time again. And the narrative never changes because you have fan bases who don't recruit real well who say recruiting doesn't matter, or Oregon doesn't have an absolute blowout over a group of five school, and fans say, gosh, recruiting is supposed to be great. It doesn't matter. It just must not matter. Oregon's two elite quarterback recruits that they've gotten in the Mario Cristobal era, one's a true freshman, the other one is a redshirt freshman. And actually, because the COVID season didn't count, he's just a super freshman. He technically could still redshirt this year and next year be a redshirt freshman. It takes so much time for this stuff to fully saturate your program. And I know everybody wants to hit fast forward on this Oregon program and say they should be in the college football playoff this year because they're loaded with talent. They're number 8 or number 9 in the nation in terms of star rating. Stars per recruit on their roster. They'll be even higher in 2 or 3 years because what's dragging them down right now is a junior and senior class that were nowhere near as good or nowhere near as highly recruited. Since the college football playoff, since the inception even of the BCS, no program ever has won the national title without perennial top 10 recruiting classes every year. You want to tell me recruiting doesn't matter because Boise State? Sure, fine. You can have a nice year. You can. You can have a nice program. You want to win a national title? You want to make the national title game? You better at least have had one or two top 10 recruiting classes ever. You go, well, Oregon wasn't a huge recruiter under Chip Kelly. The year that Oregon made the national title, that group had one recruiting class and they were finally juniors and seniors. That group had Marcus Mariota, Darren Thomas, DeAnthony Thomas, Eric Armstead, DeForest Buckner, and was one of the top 10 recruiting classes in the country. Guess what? They broke through. They weren't the cute little program. And you can think about three-star LaMichael James. He was great. He was phenomenal. Guess when Oregon made the national title game? About 3 years after they had a top 10 recruiting class. It matters. And statistically, we've seen that it matters. It's now something like 10 times more likely that a five-star gets drafted than a four-star. And then another 10 times more likely that a four-star gets drafted than a three-star. Meaning, it's 100 times more likely that a five-star recruit is going to end up in the NFL than a three-star recruit. And we're still doing this recruiting doesn't matter concept. It just drives me wild. I guess I'm preaching to the choir. Because you're listening to this show. Which means you know recruiting matters or else you would just not listen. Either that or you're really stuck in the car and you're like, why is this guy yelling about recruiting? Which is also fair. It just drives me wild because I heard it this week. I heard it this week a ton. It was just like, oh God, Oregon. If Oregon's so good, if Oregon recruits so well, how come? Because they're all still freshmen and sophomores. Because internally, there are still real question marks about the senior class and the junior class. But if you give them 2 years... And Ty Thompson has two more years to learn, and Jay Butterfield has two more years to learn. And this receiving core with Troy Franklin, Dante Thornton has another whole year or two to develop with Micah Pittman. This offensive line that, frankly, might not have an NFL draft pick that's a junior or senior on it, but almost certainly has freshmen and sophomore that are going to be high draft picks in the future. If you give everybody a couple more years to develop, most of the best players, Noah Sewell, Justin Flo, Troy Franklin, the most promising offensive linemen, your most promising quarterbacks, a couple of your better running backs, those guys are all going to be back. You're like, hey, CJ Verdell, Nimick. CJ Verdell's never healthy. And when he plays, he often doesn't go against the grain when he should and counter and pick up a huge gain. He gets exactly what's in front of him. Oregon's a year away. Maybe 2 years away. Still going to be a good football team. Still a 9-3 football team probably this year. Maybe 8-4. Maybe 10-2. We'll see how it all breaks.
That's unacceptable.
Well, that's fine. I mean, I'm sure there are people who are saying that in their radios. I'm sure there are. But like this whole idea, and it drives me nuts. People will say this happened all during the Beaver era. Where I would say, man, Gary Anderson's a really bad recruiter. And they're like, really? Because we're functional. We're a functional program. It's like, right. Bad recruiting also takes 3 or 4 years. So you fast forward and suddenly they're winning 1 or 2 games. And you're saying, how come you're saying recruiting is getting better currently and our team sucks? And it's like, well, those are the results from 3 years ago when I said the recruiting's terrible. Those guys are now the leaders of your program. That's why your program sucks. 2 and 3 years ago, I said it's starting to get better. They're relying really heavily on the transfer portal, but it's starting to get better. And look where we are now. It's starting to get better because those guys, the Tyjon Lindsays, the Addison Gums, the Avery Roberts, the Tristan Jebbias, the Chance Nolans, those guys are the guys starting to run the show. Whatever I say about, oh my gosh, this kid's amazing, it's probably going to take him 3 years to be that amazing guy in Eugene. When Troy Franklin committed last spring, it's now been 18 months since he committed. 18 months since I said, oh, they landed the best receiver in program history other than Cameron Colvin. He's a true freshman. And he's in the rotation to get playing time right away. Give it another year, and we're 2.5 years from when I said he's going to be a superstar. And he might just then be a sophomore who's a consistent starter. Give it 3.5 years from when I first wrote about it. And that's when he finally is a guy. That's how long it takes. Sevin McGee, 900 days ago, I wrote that Oregon landed potential All-American Sevin McGee. He just showed up on campus 2 months ago. It takes time. I am starting to get into watching film because week 1 and week 2 of the high school football season has happened. A couple of kids have popped. I want to tell you who those are. Oregon State has an impressive visitor list, including a top 100 prospect. I'll give you the rundown on that. But also, one last, and it won't last the whole segment, one more pet peeve, because there is a video going viral of a corner who posted his highlights. Overtime. Remember Overtime Elite that's paying players in basketball to go pro early as 15 and 16-year-olds? They use their account to spotlight this kid and his highlights, and you've got former NFL players weighing in saying, what in the world are we doing if this is what we're highlighting? I'll talk about it and what the problem is in recruiting that's allowing that kind of thing to happen next on Recruiting with Andrew Nemec on 1080 The Fan.
Recruiting with Andrew Nemec on 1080 The Fan, Odyssey app, and 1080thefan.com.
Talking a little recruiting pet peeves, we will get into the Oregon State Beavers visitor list, an impressive list, a lot of local high school talent. And we're supposed to have DeMarcus Houston on the show a little later, the number two prospect in the state of Oregon. He visited Oregon last weekend. He's got Oregon State this weekend. I really like him. He's at practice. Practice is supposed to end at 7:30. He's supposed to have time. If he doesn't, I'm sure we'll get him on at some point. But I wanted to get him to preview his Oregon State visit, talk to him about how Oregon went. But I guess we're talking pet peeves. The number one is people who think recruiting doesn't matter, and then I just obliterated that in the first segment. And then there's this, and this has to tie in. There's this video. It's a prospect, and he's posting his highlights, and Overtime at Overtime shared it. And they tweeted, "Bro, just a menace on the field." The kid's name is Drippy4K, is his Twitter handle, which kind of tells you something in and of itself. And his video said, here's my video. If he watched film, he would have known this was coming. I be in the weight room a lot. He must have not known. Now, the video...
Didn't he do like a TikTok where he's like standing all menacing in front of it?
Yes. The video, the two plays he highlighted, he's committed to West Virginia. I'm not going to say his name. One, I don't want to embarrass him. And two, he doesn't deserve the credit. So dual reasoning here. His highlights is two plays in which he just blatantly grabs the receiver by his jersey, spins him around, and in one of them, he gets a 15-yard personal foul penalty, and the official, you can see him running down the sideline to break him up, because it looks like he just basically tossed him and then was like holding him down on the sideline. Fine. Kids are dumb. Kids aren't going to know. Kids make mistakes. Kids say stupid things. Not all, some. You see it in recruiting sometimes. I've seen it in recruiting personally sometimes. At Overtime needs to be smarter than to say, look at this. This guy's a menace. Well, I guess technically you're probably right. He is a menace. But to highlight him nationally and say, like, this is great. You know, even Alex Molden, West Lynn coach, who obviously more famously was a first round pick. His son is in the NFL now, Elijah Molden with the Titans. Alex Molden even said, that's great, but can he cover? And I see this all the time in camps. You'll see one-on-ones with offensive linemen and defensive linemen, and you'll see somebody running it that probably was a defensive back or a quarterback or a running back or not an O-lineman. And sometimes it's even O-line or D-lineman. And you'll see a one-on-one rep, and the O-lineman will just grab the D-lineman by the jersey and throw him down and then lay on him. And they'll be like, pancake. It's not a pancake. It's holding. It's holding. And you can think, well, that's just adults hyping up the wrong kinds of kids. And I will tell you, I've been doing this for 5 or 6 years. And I've run this by Souk as well. So this isn't just totally my theory. There are coaches that can absolutely run 1,000 laps around my knowledge of football. There's no doubt. I am not a football genius by any stretch of the imagination. I do okay. I do okay enough to write about recruiting and kind of sometimes understand what I'm talking about when I watch film and say, hey, this kid's going to blow up. Tooting my own horn, when Justin Herbert wasn't rated, I said, that's a guy who's going to play in the NFL. He's phenomenal. He ends up playing in the NFL. So I do okay. But there are guys who run circles around me. Absolutely, unquestionably. But there are also multiple college assistant coaches, college head coaches, high school head coaches and high school assistant coaches who I know way more about football. And you listening at home know way more about football. And it's about half. And you can think that's crazy, but people get hired and they know O-line or they used to play in the NFL. So the local high school says, you should come coach our team. Just because you played in the NFL doesn't actually mean you know. Some guys get to the league and they can't understand the playbook and they're gone. Or they really understand what to do at right guard. But if you told them to run an offense, they wouldn't have a clue. There are corners who are unbelievable athletes and you say, shadow that guy, and they will. Have them drop a blitz package or scout defensive linemen and they don't have a clue. And when you work your way up, you don't always start out being the cornerback coach. Sometimes you start out as the offensive general assistant. And you have no idea what you're doing. Because you're put in that position to recruit. Or because you used to play and you've got a chance to move up. And so, a lot of times, I'll be at camps, a lot of times. And people will be like, this kid was amazing. And I'll see the same kid and say, he committed 5 penalties on his 6 reps and was awful.
A lot of milk.
A lot of milk. What is that from?
That's Jim Harbaugh.
Ah.
I don't remember what it was from, but you said a lot of times and it turned
yeah.
in my brain.
It just drives me nuts. And, you know, it came up a few years ago, and I beating a dead horse here. It came up with Oregon State. They had a play that they loved to run on like 3rd and 1, 3rd and 2. And they kept throwing the ball deep down the sideline. I was like, that cannot be how you're drawing up that play. Because on 3rd and 1 and 3rd and 2, you don't want to throw a 40-yard bomb down the sideline. Especially when you don't have an elite receiver. So what's the problem here? And what it was they liked the drag. They liked the short route across the middle. I believe it was from the slot. And they liked that route. But instead of tagging that route and say teaching the quarterback to look it off, and he watches the go route, the guy runs streaking down the field, and then if that's not wide open, immediately knowing that drag is probably there and hitting it, he would watch the drag as if it was his first read the whole way that the slot receiver runs across the field. And so the linebacker sees the quarterback staring him down, so he picks him up. And even if it's his zone, when he leaves his zone, the next linebacker picks him up because the quarterback is staring down the drag. And then by the time the receiver is run all the way across the field, the pressure's there, and he's got nowhere to throw except to throw up a Hail Mary down the field because his second read is the receiver that's all the way down the field. Well, technically, that's right. You want to throw the drag first. That's your most important throw. But if you don't teach your quarterback to look it off, and to look at the go first, the drag is covered all the way, and it takes so long to run a drag all the way across the field that by the time you throw to the go, it's a 40-yard Hail Mary on 3rd and 1. And I was like, there's no way that's right. So I went up to an Oregon State grad assistant at a game. He was watching high school kids. And I said, can you explain to me your play, your go-to play? And he knew exactly what I was talking about. And sure enough, he said, well, the drag is the first read, so you watch it all the way across, and then if that's not there, you just throw the go. And I was like, that's not how you run that play. And he's like, what are you talking about? I didn't play college football. I didn't play. But I know that because I've been around football a long time. You will be around people in this job, and you will be around coaches who you think, he makes 6 figures. He makes 7 figures. He definitely knows football. They don't. Some of them don't. It's unbelievable. And so that's how you end up with things like the overtime. That's how you end up occasionally with that not rated prospect, obviously being one of the top 10 quarterbacks in the country, Justin Herbert. It floors me, Lynch. It's the number one thing I think about this job that has changed my perception of college football. There are dudes who I cannot believe how much they know. They know so much that it makes me feel like I don't even understand what I'm watching. Like, oh, you're watching something like a totally different sport. Like, you understand this.
You're
is
playing
such a,
like 3D chess.
You're playing something that I don't even know what I'm watching. And there are just as many college and high school football coaches who will talk to me about college and high school football. And it's like, oh, I'm watching a different sport than you. I had a coach who coached. He trained kids. He was helping them get recruited. And he brought me a kid and was like, this is the next DeAnthony Thomas. Okay. So he's a 5-star prospect that is a hidden gem that is one of the most electric players in the history of college football. I have my doubts. Let's check. Let's roll the tape. So I watched the kid, and I had an NP on him. No prospect. The kid did not end up even playing small college ball. He wasn't looked at. He was a 5'5" receiver and was not the best receiver on his high school team. That trainer trains multiple D1 athletes. And he wasn't just saying it to hype it. He really thought and got really mad. He's like, you need to write an article about this kid. This kid is a 5-star prospect. And I was like, that kid is going to just be a regular college student. He's not even an all-conference player. He might not be a starter on his high school team. And he was like, you have no idea what you're talking about. I would stake my career on it. And I'm like, Well,
did you, huh?
I hope you're not working. And he trained multiple D1 athletes. And people were paying him money to train their kids. And it happens all the time. And that's why when there's good trainers, when there's good coaches, they really stand out. Alex Molden, phenomenal. He poured his heart and soul, obviously, into his son, Elijah Molden, who technically is, and you know, he's not 6'4", but from a technical standpoint, from an understanding standpoint, from a pure discipline technique standpoint, Elijah Molden's the best high school corner I've ever seen. He was unbelievable. He was so good. We talk about playing that 3D chess. He got called for a penalty on the first play of a 7-on-7 tournament when he was in high school. Elijah Molden, like a 3rd-round NFL draft pick. And got upset with the official and said, I'll play with my hands behind my back. Now, he's playing against 4- and 5-star and some 3-star guys. I'll play with my hands behind my back the entire rest of the tournament to prove a point, and I won't give up a catch. And he didn't. That kid's on a different planet, and he was a 3rd-round pick. That's how good you have to be. So just because your kid is the best at running routes on your high school field, there's a degree, there are levels to this. It's unbelievable to watch guys who really, really get it. But that's what I would say to you. Don't watch football and think, man, what's going on? It must be the players always. Sometimes the coaches don't know how to coach. And I'm not talking about any particular college or any particular high school. I'm talking about recruiting in general. That's why we see that overtime video go viral. That's somebody watching it who's put in a position to look for highlights and goes, man, that kid's amazing. Kid's not amazing. He got 2 penalties. He might have gotten thrown out of the football game. Those aren't highlights. And because everybody gassed him up and now he's gone completely viral for literally grabbing a guy's jersey, spinning him in a 360, throwing him out of bounds, and then tackling him, people are going to think that's good football. It's not. Who's visiting Oregon State? Enough with the gripes, enough with the complaints, and enough with a little behind the curtain. Who's visiting the Oregon State Beavers? Some big-time prospects. We'll talk about them next on Recruiting with Andrew Nemec on 10 in the Fan.
Recruiting with Andrew Nemec on 1080 The Fan, Odyssey app, and 1080thefan.com.
Speaking of coaches having no idea what they're doing.
Mike McCarthy, come on down!
So Dallas trails Tampa Bay 21-16, 4th-and-3 from the 3. Their kicker's already missed an extra point and 2 field goals. And they went ahead and kicked it. So now they're down 21-19. It's still mid-third quarter, but the spread's -9 for Tampa Bay. And sometimes I wonder how Vegas does this. It's 21-19. So when Tampa Bay goes down and scores, it will be a 9-point game.
That is very true. Also, before halftime, Mike McCarthy attempted a 60-yard field goal that was missed and gave the Bucs the ball in decent field position with like 18 seconds to go. Now, the Bucs didn't do anything with it, but instead he could have punted it. Kneeled it to end the half. Instead, he went for the 60-yard field goal because, I don't know, I saw a tweet that said maybe he was going for a mojo moment, which was from Hard Knocks.
Give Tom Brady 18 seconds from like the 40-yard, well, actually, the 43-yard line is exactly, no, 50, because it's where the ball's set, right? Isn't it the 50-yard line?
Oh, I don't
know. In college, is it where the ball, or in the pros, is it where the ball is set or the line of scrimmage?
So that'd or the line of scrimmage. No, it's line of scrimmage.
Okay, so the 43-yard line to potentially go in and score. And you give him 3 tries to get to like the 35.
Yeah.
So that your kicker who's already missed an extra point and a field goal, a 31-yard field goal, by the way, can kick a 60-yarder. Smart. Smart, smart, smart.
And you're losing 21-16 and you've got 4th-and-goal from the 3 and, you know, you kick a field goal. That's what you do.
Thomas Brady, smart, smart, smart. Mike McCarthy, dum-da-dum. Oregon State hosting an impressive list of visitors. And I love when teams do this. This is an unofficial visit weekend for the most part. But if you're going to do this, bring your commits. Always have a couple of commits on your visits because they become friends and they say, hey, come play with me at my school. It's just smart. You know, you've got kids their age who you've already convinced they should go there. So they become peer recruiters. They can help you. Not only that, but kids are more likely to tell a guy that looks like them, that's not dressed up in Oregon State gear and is a coach, how they felt, how they feel about stuff. Are you having fun? Dude, I'm bored. Let's go do this. Or, man, this is awesome. They're more likely to tell their peers than they are the coaching staff. So those guys get intel. A couple of commits going to be on campus, both from the state of Washington. Oregon State doing a very nice job in the state of Washington. Jack Velling, three-star tight end. He's the number 53 tight end in the country. Not that impressive in terms of his rating, but he had offers from Arizona State, Michigan, Minnesota, and Utah. He is better than the 53rd tight end in the country. Oregon State ends up missing out on a tight end who chose Michigan. Michigan then kind of backs off Jack Velling. They get Jack Velling. And Jack Velling's got a chance to be really good. And this gives me an opportunity, which I honestly been looking for lately, to mention Coach Brian Wozniak, the Oregon State tight end coach. He's done a phenomenal job. He brought in Tegan Quatoriano. He brings in Luke Musgrave, both talented tight ends. He got Jake Overman, who flat out, they beat Washington for him flat out. Washington wanted him. That came down to the wire. Washington was pushing. He chose Oregon State. And now they get Jack Velling, who had offers from Arizona State, Utah, Minnesota, and Michigan. It's impressive. He's doing a very nice job, not only recruiting, but developing. If you're looking at a position where Oregon State just pretty much time and time again is getting guys that you don't have to squint and you go, yeah, he's going to be pretty good. It's a tight end position. Wozniak killing it. Three-star defensive end outside linebacker Takari Hickel is visiting. He's a 1A, not a one-star. He's a 1A prospect. He's a three-star prospect. He plays at the 1A level in Washington. He's the team captain in basketball and football. He has 11 and an eighth-inch hands, which would be the biggest hands on Oregon State's roster. It might be the biggest hands in the Pac-12 conference. His hands are the same size as J.J. Watt. And they're some of the biggest hands that would have ever been measured at the combine. He's 6'4", 240 pounds. That's almost the exact same size as Brian Burns, who not only was a high draft pick, but is also expected to be a breakout edge rusher for the Carolina Panthers. And he's got a 7-foot wingspan at 6'4". Giant hands, long wingspan, team captain in basketball and football, 6'4", 240, got a great body. I get it. If you're going to take boomer bust prospects, don't take a boomer bust prospect that has an 80% chance of busting. Take the kid who measures like NFL first round picks, has giant hands, a 7-foot wingspan, and you go, hey, worst case scenario, we'll stack him in the middle and he might block a field goal. I really like Takari Hickel. Again, also high character. Team captain, basketball, and football. Takari Hickel was a great find. I think that shows just how much research they're doing. How many 1A prospects' hands do you have to measure and wingspans do you have to measure to find Takari Hickel? Because for every Takari Hickel, there's like a Jeff Stevenson who's going to pump gas or, you know, do whatever. To find a Takari Hickel is impressive work. Class of 2022 prospects visiting. Oregon State almost full. They've got 12 commitments. They probably only take 15 or 16. They're going to hammer the transfer portal. They've been through another fall camp. And what they've seen from fall camp, the transfer portal guys are not missing. They are hits. They are the Sam Noyers, who at least gives you depth at quarterback. They're the Avery Roberts, who lead the Pac-12 in tackles. They're the Nathan Eldridge, who become all-conference centers. They're the Tyjon Lindsays, who become key slot receivers. Trey Lowe's a walk-on transfer from Washington, and he's getting carries as a change of pace back. They are finding success in the transfer portal. So they're going to take 15 or 16 this year and then probably take regular high school and JC kids. And then they're probably going to take 7 or 8 transfers again. So not a lot of room left to do in 2022. So this list, short. 3-star wide receiver Miles Williams out of Clackamas and 3-star linebacker Amir Brown out of Carmel, California. Miles Williams has a scholarship offer. I'm not sure how committable it is. It'll come down to his senior film. And Amir Brown looks very much, he has no offers yet. He looks very much like a potential walk-on candidate. I like him. He's got some upside as a 3-star prospect that could be a preferred walk-on. But I don't necessarily see him as the number 150. He's the 197th linebacker in the country. I don't necessarily think he's a scholarship guy. The big news here is going to be the class of 2023 guys. And Oregon State does a phenomenal job year in, year out the last few years of going after the top players in Oregon. They consistently have the numbers 2 through 14, 15 players in Oregon visiting campus early when they're freshmen and sophomore. Because you never know when a guy's a sophomore and he's the number 14 player in Oregon if he doesn't pop and become 1, 2, or 3. So they do a great job of spanning those guys that could potentially pop and building relationships early. And they're doing that this weekend with a number of Oregon prospects. DeMarcus Houston, the number 2 prospect in Oregon. Richie Anderson, the number 4 prospect in Oregon. Drew Rodriguez out of Sprague, the number 5 prospect in Oregon. And Josiah Davis, who's the number 44 ball carrier in the country, number 44 running back in the country. He's a top 10 player in Oregon. All of those guys visiting. And then again, Coach Wozniak going after good tight ends. Both Cooper Jensen from Washington and Dorian Thomas from Washington. They both have multiple offers. Arizona, Oregon State, Tennessee, Florida Atlantic, Nevada, Oregon State. Obviously, both of those guys have the Oregon State offer. Both of them are top 25 tight ends in the country. Both of them visiting this weekend. Both of them visiting alongside fellow Washington tight end Jack Velling. Why does that matter? Velling's already committed. And Oregon State runs a bunch of 2 tight end sets. So Velling doesn't go there and go, hey, Dorian Thomas, if you come here, I'm taking your job. He doesn't have to say to Cooper Jensen, like, listen, man, I'm going to be the tight end catching the ball. There are 2 of them. So Jack Velling, that play all the time. They run a lot of 2 tight end sets. So Jack Velling can go to fellow Washingtonians. Is that right? Cooper Jensen and Dorian Thomas and say, let's team up. Listen, this is how they're going to use me. Here's how they could use you. And he gets to peer recruit 2 of the top 25 tight ends in the country. The other big player visiting this weekend is a 2024 prospect. He's Joey Olson. He's the number 72 player in the entire country. He's the highest rated player in Oregon in his class. He's higher rated than Darius Clemens, who's a 2022 prospect who's really talented, offers from Auburn and Penn State. He's good. Joey Olson, for his class, rated even higher. Joey Olson, only 15 years old, 16 years old. He's already listed at 6'5", 200 pounds, with offers from Arizona State, Louisville, Nevada, Oregon State, and Penn State. Doing the early work on key prospects. But to me, the biggest name on this list, because he fits the mold so perfectly. Oregon State loves long corners. DeMarcus Houston from West Albany, 6'2", 185 pounds. He's the number 2 prospect in Oregon, is only a 3-star. I think he's going to add a 4-star. And he just got done visiting Oregon. He's got Oregon State next this weekend. We'll talk to him. How was Oregon? What does he think of Oregon State? He joins the show next on Recruiting with Andrew Nemec on 1080 The Fan.
Recruiting with Andrew Nemec on 1080 The Fan, Odyssey app, and 1080thefan.com.
He's the number 2 player in Oregon in the class of 2023. He's a 6'2", 185-pound corner. I love him. I think he's going to be a 4-star prospect. He's DeMarcus Houston out of West Albany High School. DeMarcus, how you doing, man?
Doing good. How are you doing, Andrew?
Good. Thank you very much for joining the show. We got to get right into it because we're up against the clock a little bit. How was your visit to Oregon? What'd you think?
It was great. I went down there and went to the Fresno State game, and you know, I went out and didn't know what to expect. Went down, saw a bunch of nice facilities, saw their practice field, indoor practice field, weight room, and all that was crazy. And then the energy inside Austin was just unmatched.
Oregon, did you grow up an Oregon fan? Were you more of an Oregon State fan? Where has your allegiance lie historically?
I'm going to be honest, I've grown up an Oregon State fan, but as I've gotten older, then, you know, I've kind of gotten balanced.
Okay, so that had to have meant a lot to you that Oregon State was your first offer, your first big offer. They, Power 5 conference program, Pac-12 program, an in-state program, and your childhood favorite program, favorite school. What did it mean to you when Oregon State gave you that offer, and what did that do in terms of potentially giving them a leg up in your recruitment?
I mean, that was definitely just like an eye-opener for me. It was kind of like showing that the work that I've put in for my like childhood dream has like all been starting to unfold, been, you know, Oregon State seeing me and offered me, and they put that trust in me to believe that I'm one of the top players and deserve that scholarship. And so it really just opened my eyes, and it was a big thing for me.
You're visiting Oregon State this weekend. It is not your first trip. It's a return trip. What are you looking forward to out of Oregon State this week? Again, when you've already been, does it become more about the nuance of it, building the relationships, or are there still some things that you want to make sure kind of check boxes?
I'm definitely looking to build that relationship I've already been in contact a lot with Oregon State and already building a great relationship, but just want to continue to build on that, talk to players, talk to some coaches, and just build the relationship there.
We're talking to class of 2023, three-star cornerback DeMarcus Houston, 6'2", 185 pounds out of West Albany High School. I think he's going to end up being a four-star prospect. Visiting Oregon State this weekend, you mentioned just kind of relationship building there. Who's the coach that you're closest to on the staff, and what's that relationship like at this point?
I'd say that Jake Cookis is the coach that I'm closest to on that staff right now. And I'd say that we have a great relationship, texting, calling almost every day now, over Twitter, then we're still in contact. Every time that I'm over in the area, then I'll stop by and say what's up. And so it's just been building that relationship for quite a while now. So we've built a pretty good relationship.
September 1st was a big day for you. I guess for listeners who don't know, I've got to give the rundown real quick. That was the first day that class of 2023 prospects could hear directly from college coaches. You were very busy. You heard from a number of schools. Who is left? You visited Oregon already. You're going to Oregon State this weekend. Who else are you planning to visit this fall? And then who are you still working to schedule stuff with? Because you are a hot commodity right now on the recruiting trail.
I'm planning on visiting Notre Dame on October 23rd, and then also planning on visiting University of Washington on November 6th for their game against Oregon. And then still trying to figure out UCLA and Washington State right now.
So right now, you have the offer from Oregon State in hand, but you're hearing from a number of schools. Is this a situation where, and I'm just asking, I'm not putting any pressure on you. You do what you want to do. Is this a situation where you're going to Oregon State this weekend going, I need it to check the final boxes before I'm ready to make a decision? Or are you feeling like the COVID shutdown didn't allow me to visit schools? I'm hearing from a bunch of schools. I want to check out a number of options before I'm close to making a decision.
I think, going into my junior season, then I still have a little bit of time to weigh my options and go look at the other schools, since I wasn't able to do that during COVID.
I think that's a smart answer. It's a good answer. I know Oregon State's definitely in the mix for you. Do you have an idea of when you'd like to make a decision? Is there an idea you have in mind? Do you want it out of the way before senior year? Is it going to be when the time is right? Or are you thinking of something totally different, like a birthday or an anniversary or something?
No, I'm thinking that when the time is right, I don't want to rush the decision, but if there's anything that, like you're saying, checking that last box or visiting a school that checks all the boxes that I, have where I want to go, then I think that that's the time that I'll make my decision. I'm planning on trying to make it before December of senior year. I'm looking to graduate early, and so I could enroll in school.
So you'd enroll in school, whatever school you pick, potentially in late December, early January?
Yes, that'd be the plan.
Okay. When you were growing up, did you feel like college football was going to be a part of your future? Was that something that you had always anticipated? Were you always like a star on your high school teams? And you're like, I'm going to play college football? Or has this kind of, to some extent, escalated quickly enough where you're kind of still taken aback by the attention you're getting?
It's kind of both ways. I mean, growing up then, I was always like, we always were the best team that was playing. And so it was like, most of the kids that I was playing with were also pretty great athletes as well. And so it wasn't like I was a standout athlete when I was super young. So it wasn't like, oh, I'm going to go play college ball. But as I've grown up and seeing like the steps I'm taking in that direction has been something that's been pretty crazy to me.
He's DeMarcus Houston, number two player in the state of Oregon for the class of 2022. Visited Oregon recently, has an offer from Oregon State, and is making a return visit this weekend. Definitely a player to watch going forward. DeMarcus, thank you very much for joining the show, man. I appreciate you.
Of course. Thank you for having me.
This is the time he could do it. He could only do it for the last segment of the show. He's got some stuff going on today, football practice. So it was good to get him on. I think he's a phenomenal player, and you look at kind of the guys that are bona fide, that have established themselves as surefire Power 5 conference recruits. And in 2023, there's only a couple right now that you'd say slam dunk 2023s, absolutely, they're going to be Power 5 guys. And then there's like a group of 10 to 15 who could end up at, you know, a school like Portland State or Eastern Washington or Montana, or could end up all the way at a Power 5 conference school like an Oregon or an Oregon State. So it's going to be really interesting. But DeMarcus Houston is one of those guys who's established himself. And, you know, I think even he was a little bit initially surprised by September 1st. I was not, because I had college coaches ask me about him really early. But, you know, he's already visited Oregon. He's visited Oregon State and has an offer from Oregon State. Notre Dame wants to host him on a visit. UCLA wants to host him on a visit. Washington, Washington State. And all of that just goes to say, for a three-star prospect, he's getting a lot of attention and is one of those guys that has established himself as a surefire, talented player and an absolute Power 5 conference prospect. Both the Ducks and Beavers should be watching him very closely. Thank you for listening to Recruiting with Andrew Nimmick on 1080 The Fan. We gave you a little bit of a look at what Oregon State is doing with their recruiting class and who's visiting. Not a lot of spots left. Oregon's in a similar spot, but they have a top 10 class in the country. And it's going to be interesting to see what they do at defensive back, and that's really what we're going to be looking at going forward. So if you're looking for keys, what to watch for the Oregon Ducks, take a peek at defensive backs. Is it going to be Damani Dent, who was a standout at Saturday Night Live? Is it going to be junior college corner Keontae Scott? Something to watch. And then does Oregon hit another big home run with a big-time four- or five-star prospect late and surprise everybody? That's what we're going to be watching down the stretch. For Oregon State, maybe an offensive lineman. Defensive lineman, a couple DBs. Both Oregon and Oregon State want DBs. Both of them around 75% done with their 2022 recruiting classes. It's going to be almost time to turn the page to 2023, and both those programs get an early look and a head start on the field by getting their classes done. Thank you for listening to Recruiting with Andrew Nimmick on 1080 The Fan. Appreciate you.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.